Yeah, 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 come and take a look at the snow. Bright white as far as your eyesight goes. Come and take a look at the fields of snow. I'll just get my coat, then we're good to go. Come and take a look at the lake. Let's have a quick skate before it gets late. Come and take a look at the frozen lake. Put your clothes on, mate, don't make that mistake. Ba-ba-da-ba-ba-ba. Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. Happy Christmas.
I can't think of one. Oh my gosh. I'm freezing up. Ah. How do you usually start your intro? Oh my god.
Folks, the process of doing anime has broken Brad's brain because he had a cold open ready, and when we hit record, he immediately forgot it.
Okay, I got it now.
Okay.
This is your brain. This is your brain on anime.
Any questions?
10 out of 10. Nailed it. Any questions? Welcome back to Christmas Creeps, Stocking Stuffer Edition, Anime Edition. I'm your co-host, Bradford. I'm running the show this month. And with me tonight is my good friend, Joey Wade. How are you, Joe?
I am relishing the opportunity to be the wacky sidekick this month. I love it. Hi, Brad. What's going on?
You like being in the sidecar for once?
I do. Take me some places, Brad.
It's kind of nice. We're going to go some places tonight, my friend. there are 222 shopping days left until Christmas. And
yeah.
I think you know what that means. This is Christmas Creeps, your one-stop shop for holiday movies and TVs. TV shows all year round. Holiday movies and TVs. Come and get them while they're hot all year round.
We got an install microwave oven.
We're getting a little... So, full disclosure, we're actually recording this right after the last one. So, things are getting a little sloppy here. So, we're going to have a good time.
Yeah, folks, the brews are gone and... We're rocking and rolling.
The brews are gone and the takes are out. yeah. So this is our anime block where we are talking about Japanese animation that happens to occur at Christmas or invokes the Christmas spirit.
Yuletide anime.
Yes. And tonight, my friends, we have watched season 1, episode 11 of Mr. Osomatsu. With the very creative title of Christmas Mr. Osomatsu. Which, full disclosure, is the actual factual thing that I watched that made me want to do this whole block 4+ years ago.
Oh, wow.
Believe it or not.
You've been sitting on this one for 4 years, huh?
I have been sitting on this one because when you're teaching somebody how to swim, usually you do not grab them and throw them into the deep end of the pool. Right from the get-go. So I really went easy on you 4 years ago with Lupin and Agretzko and Tokyo Godfather's goat. So we're getting a little bit more into the weeds. We're getting a little bit deeper. This isn't exactly a deep cut, but we're getting a little more fancy with it.
Yeah, like we're
this time around.
We're in a genre of media where I don't even know what the deep cuts are. So to me, it's all deep cuts unless it's like, you know, Totoro.
Yeah. Yeah. So a little bit different speed. Last time we watched Laid Back Camp, which was, in Joe's esteemed opinion, not so laid back at all.
Not by a country mile.
But this is what I consider to be the one with no chill whatsoever. This is Mr. Osomatsu.
So I guess first thing right off the bat, you told me there is a long and storied history that goes along with this show. So briefly touch on that a little bit.
Let me break it down for you. So this show, Mr. Osomatsu, is actually a reboot of an earlier series called Osomatsu-kun. Which is, I'm not going to get into Japanese honorifics here, but it's just like Lil Osomatsu, because in the original series, as it was written, it was originally a comic series from 1962, if you can believe it, about a group of sextuplet brothers who were not grown up as they are in this series, and all of the sorts of characters that surround them. So this has actually had two previous runs aside from the comics. There was an animated show in 1966 in black and white, and there was another one in 1988. And then it sat dormant for a long time, and they decided to reboot it as this, where they're all growed up, and it's actually been kind of a big hit for the studio that did it, Studio Piero. And the rest is history.
Oh, cool.
Although, interestingly enough, in the 1966 and especially in the 1988 run, the Matsuno sextuplets were not the central focus of the show. So in the original run of the comics and the shows, it had, I don't know, and you can help me out here, if there's a term for this, where a secondary character kind of steals the attention of the show and becomes basically the central character. So you see it, you've seen it before, like in Akewood, where Ray Schmuckles basically became the main character, or especially in Homestar Runner. And yes, I am using internet examples here because that's the world I live in. Yeah. In Homestar Runner, where essentially Strong Bad is the main focus of Homestar Runner.
Yeah,
you know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, see, like the first example that comes to mind to me is Family Matters, how that show was originally just about like the Winslow family, and then Steve Urkel comes in and the show's suddenly all about him.
Yes, in the later seasons, it's all Urkel all the time.
Exactly.
Yeah, so it was the Urkel effect.
The Urkel effect, basically.
We're going to call it the Urkel effect.
Like, I'm sure TV Tropes has its own name for it, but we don't care about that. It's the Urkel effect.
This troper is going to be calling it the Urkel effect, and no, I'm not a troper. Don't at me. I'm just using the stupid, dumb, this troper thing.
Oh, man. Man, I think it actually is the Urkel effect. Damn it.
Is it really?
I just...
It's probably... We probably picked that up through osmosis at some point.
Yeah, probably. It's okay.
Anyways, so back to my original point. The first two runs of this series actually were mostly focused on Iami.
Mm-hmm.
Like the con man guy with the big teeth. You see him a couple... You only see him, I think, once or twice throughout this entire episode. And to their credit, they really dialed back on it and focused more on the sextuplets as their own characters in this reboot.
Right.
So, yeah. So that's kind of the history. It was a really big thing even back in the 60s, perhaps even more so. In fact, if you click over to podcast discussion, I have a picture of a beetle. I'm not sure which Beatle that is, because I don't know that much about the Beatles, doing Iami's famous Shay pose.
Oh, that's John Lennon. Okay.
That's John Lennon. There you go. He knows the name of the Beatle. Although this is somewhat apocryphal, because apparently this is also a Buddhist pose as well.
Okay.
So the show has shown this photo before. Okay. In the show. Like, talking about how famous, like, the she bit was.
Right.
Like, this pose and, like, the dumb yelling out she. It's a very, like, old-timey gag. Anyways.
Okay.
So, like, some people considered that it was John Lennon doing this pose from Osomatsu-kun. But the world may never know. So, maybe a Buddhist pose. Maybe the she pose from Iami.
I mean...
We don't know.
Follow-up question, is there any Japanese origin to the other famous John Lennon photo, which I'm going to put in our Discord right now?
I mean, Yoko's there, that fucking walk cycle. I love that photo so much. It's so good.
Like, I don't even know what it is, but it's the keep on trucking pose.
It's so good. I think that the sign in the very, very back looks like it's in Japanese, but I'm sure there's like a history of this photo, but thank you for sharing that. I love that photo so much.
This is all going in the show notes too, folks.
Oh, it's so good. Yeah. Both photos are going in the show notes.
You know, like as soon as we say a photo of John Lennon, something pops into your head, and I would like you, the listener. I mean, I would love to know what photo that would be for you.
Yes, join us in Discord and let us know what your favorite John Lennon photo is. Is it the photo of him and Yoko and with the bed piece sign? Is it the keep on trucking pose, or is it the Shay pose? Let us know. Where were we? Share with us your favorite John Lennon memory/photo on our Discord. It's in the show notes. Join us, won't you?
Imagine all the people sharing photos of John Lennon.
Yes.
What were we talking about?
We were talking about Osomatsu-kun, and by extension, Mr. Osomatsu, a.k.a. Osomatsu-san.
Correct.
What we watched tonight. So, the concept of this show is that there is a family with six boys who are identical sextuplets.
Right.
You have Osomatsu, Karamatsu, Choromatsu, Ichimatsu, Jushimatsu, and Todomatsu. And they have grown up. And you're assumed to be familiar with these kids, but even if you're not, you know what a fail son is.
Oh yeah.
They're all in their 20s. They're all unemployed. They're all living at home. They're all virgins, and the rest is history. The nature of the show is very episodic. It's almost like a sketch comedy show. As I'm sure you've noticed.
Yes. Yes.
So there will be a couple episodes throughout the series where, you know, it's a single plot line for the entire episode. But for, by and large, it's going to be, you know, a couple of, in the spirit of, like, four coma manga, in, you know, like, short gag manga, it's going to be just, you know, boom, 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 joke, joke, joke. And that's the, you know, yeah. it's a five minute bit at best.
Yeah, like, I don't know
and
if this
we
is...
we move on to the next thing.
I don't know if this is a factor of just, it was the last sketch show that I watched, but I got some serious, I think you should leave vibes off of this show.
Yes, yeah. It very much in the spirit of, like, sketch shows. To where, even where each bit has its own title.
Right.
And then there are a number of secondary characters to the Matsuno sextuplets. You know, of course, you have Yami, who's this con man. And you have Chibita, who is this bald boy who runs an Odin stall.
Mm-hmm.
Just like stew you eat in a out of a cart. And then I think the only other characters that appear in this episode are Dekapan. Which is, he's a big man with big pants, and that's what his name means, his big pants. And Dion, who is a man with a football-shaped head, who just says, the only thing he says is Dion.
Yeah, these two, I did not know what to make of these two, but I appreciate the kind of weirdness of them.
It's a very, like, it's like they're a product of the era that it was written in the 60s, and they, like, make no bones about it, but they make it work even in, like, this version of Osomatsu. And then there's Todoko, which is, like, the perennial love interest of the Matsuno sextuplets,
the resident girl of the show, I assume.
The resident girl of the show. To its credit, all of the skits in this episode that aired around Christmas are Christmas themed, and most of them are themed around the fact that Christmas is considered sort of a couple's holiday, mm-hmm. like a romantic lover's holiday in Japan. And these boys be very lonely.
You know, that
Los lonely boys.
Los lonely boys indeed. But that kind of reminds me of when we watched the episode of, what's that show, Agretzko, which,
yes,
like, that was entirely what that episode was about, was, you know, the will they won't they of the couples in the, you know, the orbit of the show.
Yes.
Around Christmas time. So I get that. That makes sense to me. Not a whole lot of this does make sense to me, but that part of it certainly did.
Hopefully I can break it down little bit.
I mean, compared to the last show that we just discussed last week, this is much more abstract and much faster paced. And when I said last time that, you know, you said this was the less chill of the two, I had to disagree, but I think it's just because its sense of humor is much more on my wavelength, and I can connect myself to it a little bit quicker.
You can pick up what it's putting down.
I can pick it up a little bit faster. Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm there for it.
Yeah. And in lieu of a plot summary, we can go through some of the notable skits that occur in this episode.
As in, the only note that I took for this episode was just in all caps, Christmas zombies.
Christmas zombies, yes. So the intro, the cold open to this episode is that the Matsuno siblings are all have basically been driven insane and are zombies because they have nowhere to go on Christmas. And it has become painfully obvious that they're all very lonely and very pathetic. And so, yeah, they're all Christmas zombies. And there you have it.
Like you do, yeah.
It's a very short,
it's a very short bit, but it's very good.
It's a very short bit. And they're all dressed up as either, you know, Santas or reindeers or a Christmas tree.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, their limbs are falling off and they're eating brains. And yep, the spirit of Christmas has degenerated their bodies. So the first skit proper is one called Black Santa, which is probably actually one of my favorites in the entire episode. Where a young couple is sitting on a bench discussing what to do after their Christmas date. And Ichimatsu comes up, and he's dressed up in a Santa suit, and just basically is mean-mugging them the entire time, while giving them compliments, but also cursing under his breath. And then they decide that they're going to stay over together overnight at one of their places, and he spontaneously human combusts.
That's the moment where I got the I think you should leave vibes, because it's like every sketch in that show is built around one character just constantly doubles down on being the worst person in the world and everybody else can't stand them.
Yeah,
and that's what's going on here.
and he's the worst. He's like, he's just staring at them, making them uncomfortable,
right?
Staring at them even more, making them uncomfortable, paying them a compliment, which is probably the worst thing he can do in that situation,
right?
And then bursting into flame,
right? Yeah,
yeah. The next one is also very short, which is Picked Up by a Girl, and this one has Karamatsu in it. And all of the different Matsuno siblings have, like, sort of their own character trait that they've given them, as almost in, like, a boy band-esque sort of way.
Okay.
And Karamatsu's is, he tries to be too cool, and he is extremely cringe.
Mm-hmm.
He wears a leather jacket and sunglasses and tries to play a guitar. And it's all very good. And it's him hanging out in the big city around Christmas, and he's like, well, I don't need love. I'm going to wait for the right girl to come by. And then, by the way, did you watch this? Is my understanding you watched this dubbed but with subtitles on?
I did. I didn't really have much of a choice. It was dubbed already when I started it. And
oh, okay.
No, I turned the subtitles on because I assumed it would be subbed.
Okay. I don't know. I didn't mess around with the default on Plex. So, well, I watched it subbed with original audio, but it's all good.
Well, so yeah, I watched it dubbed with subs, so while I'm listening to the you know, the English language track, I'm also reading the English subtitles, and they're saying the same basic thing, but they're very different translations.
Okay,
so it was
like, now I feel like I should have watched the dub so we were on the same page. Well, but it's all right,
the dub is more expressive and more, I guess, localized, because the subs are very basic.
Oh, yeah. Like very literal.
Very literal and very basic, but like the dubs are more like, you know, here's a lot of English language idioms and turns of phrase and
slang. Okay.
Slang, yeah. And the subs are very just like, this is what this literally means.
Gotcha. Anyways, so Karamatsu's sitting around being all cool, thinking he's too cool for love and the right person will find him. And a very attractive woman comes up to him and says, are you busy right now? And takes him out. Come to find out, are you familiar with this? Did you get this joke?
I don't know.
So what happens is he gets picked up by this girl, and then he goes to a bar, and then the tab is like,
oh yeah, yeah,
it's
yeah.
It's like $700 essentially. And it's a very famous scam in Asia.
Yeah, I've heard of this. I got this one. Like that's the
so
scam.
Basically, like, an attractive woman comes and picks you up and takes you out a bar, and like all the drinks are like outrageously overpriced, and the whole scam is just the markup on the drinks.
Yeah, just like
because they've lured you into this situation, and of course you're the one paying the tab.
Yeah, just like gets a free meal on you, and also it's the most expensive meal of your life.
Yes. Yeah. That's the joke. Right. Essentially, he gets scammed. And there's a very good reaction where he's like coughing up. He basically his whole body just spits out blood and he turns white. The end.
The end. These things happen, you know?
These things do happen. The next one is called The Perfect Christmas. So this is done in a different style.
Uh-huh.
I'm sure you noticed that. So this is done in... So most of Osomatsu is done in like a very cartoony, almost like Garfield style.
Mm-hmm.
Like their eyes and everything, you know?
Yeah.
They've got like the John Arbuckle eyes.
Yep. Kind of like that 80s... like 80s cartoon animation style, like the...
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, 80s Garfield, basically. 80s Garfield, it's 80s Heathcliff, that whole generation.
Yes, but this is done in a very different style, which is, like, sort of the one that's targeted at, like, young girls, and it's, like, romance-based, so, like, all the boys are drawn very, very pretty. Very pretty boys. And this is kind of a recurring bit in the series, where they'll switch into a different animation style when they're like channeling a parody of a given style of show.
Oh, that's cool.
Actually, the first episode of the first season legally cannot be released.
Really?
Yes, because the entire episode is a parody of so many different things. They thought they were going to get sued into oblivion, and so they aired it once and then pulled it.
Oh, no.
Like, every single show you can think of, they essentially parodied.
Oh, wow.
Down to the art style. But there was actually, if you can find it online, I recommend watching it, because there's a really great bit where they're like, they're in black and white, and they're like, how are we going to adapt to the 21st century? And they go into this form that you see in this short, like the pretty boy form.
Yeah.
But it turns out it's like something they have to hold. And so, like, there's scenes where they, like, can't hold it, and they turn back into the black and white John Arbuckle style, surrounded by all these, like, pretty boys. It's very good. It's very well done.
Oh, my goodness.
It's a fun little meta sort of bit. The Perfect Christmas is sort of a parody of, like, these romance-oriented shows oriented at young women, and all of the Matsunos are perfect young gentlemen, and they all try to hit on Totoko, and then they decide they want to fly, and then they destroy everything in all the love hotels in town. It's one of the weaker ones in my opinion, but I'm sure some people like it. It's kind of funny.
It builds to a pretty good gag at the end. Like, I like the sort of,
yeah,
just they're destroying the love hotels, and you know what that means, but like, just like literally destroying them to the ground. It's pretty funny.
Yeah,
it's good.
Then the next one is, that's one of the longer ones. Then we have Exchanging Presents, which is a common sort of bit for this show, which is just the Matsunos sitting around their house bouncing off of one another. But in this case, they're doing a gift exchange,
mm-hmm,
and they're all absolutely not having it. And then they do their gift exchange, Secret Santa, and whoops. It's all porn.
Yep.
It's all Christmas-themed porn. And then they all just kind of chuckle. Because that's how you do.
That's what happens.
Yes. The next one is the Little Match Seller Yami, which is sort of a retelling of the Little Match Seller Girl, mm-hmm, which is like a classic tale. I don't know if it's a... Do you really associate it with Christmas?
I never have. Like, I'm familiar with it, but it's never been something that I associate with Christmas. So I guess I understand it because it's a winter sort of tale, you know?
Right. But it's a spin on that, and it uses Iami as a stand-in for the Match Seller Girl. And Dione is a little boy who sucks up everything with his giant Dione mouth because that's what he does.
Right.
Yeah. It's fine. It's sort of like the obligatory Iami inclusion in the episode. Then we have The Friendship of Old Men, which is one of the more interesting and kind of funny ones.
Remind me of this one, because I don't think I remember this one.
So this is Dickapon, and he's going shopping for Christmas stuff.
Oh,
he
buys
a turkey.
Yeah.
And he has Dion over, and they have their Christmas party together because they're two old men, and they play cards, and they enjoy each other's company, and they have a big feast, and they drink a lot. And then the joke is, they like go out and turn very serious the moment they step into a brothel and just tear the place up. Because they're lonely old men. Oh no. Oh well.
Old bachelors deserve to have a nice Christmas too.
Yes.
I remember this one now because this was the one that I posted the picture in our Discord of where
Dacapon is holding the turkey.
Dacapon's holding the turkey, and my first thought was like Bob's Burgers, like Bob, the scene where Bob is like holding the turkey above his head, like it's the it's in the freaking Lion King. It's just beautiful.
It works well as sort of two together.
Yeah.
Anywho. We got a couple left. We have Jushimatsu and Santa. So Jushimatsu is kind of the oddball one. I really like his character, actually. He's sort of like he's like the non sequitur zany one, but it's done right, in my opinion. Mm. He has kind of a blank stare most of the time. And he's waiting up for Santa. And the whole joke is, you know, Santa doesn't exist. He's not coming, and all the other brothers are aggravated at him. But he ends up catching him, but the reveal is that he wanted to hog tie him and keep him hostage, I guess.
Yes, yeah, I'm gonna catch and kill Santa Claus tonight, you guys.
And he succeeded. and then it just like hard cuts away as soon as he catches him, because why not? Then we have Christmas drinking, which is the boys are hanging out at the Odin stall, complaining about their lives and how things would be how things are gonna be different next year. And talking about how money doesn't make the man. And then, I forget this character's name. He's like this little boy who has a flag in his head. He comes sailing by in like a mega yacht with 2,000 women on it. And money is raining down from it.
Oh, yeah.
And that's the get. That's the gag. And then there's one last one, which is groveling. Where they are all over at Totoko's asking her to either date her or at least take a picture with them so they can post it on Instagram to act like they're not alone on Christmas Eve.
Yeah, like they're down on their knees begging her for a date or a photo, and she is down on her knees begging them to leave. Just leave.
Please go away. And it's all very civil, but then they do like a tantrum thing where they're like beating the ground. It's pretty funny.
And it keeps cutting back to like her parents downstairs, just like looking up at the ceiling. Like, just like
he's like, "Yep, this again this year.
This again,
at it again." And that's
these darn kids,
and that's Chris, Mr. Osomatsu, Christmas.
And folks, you just heard the litany of like off the wall ideas that Bradford just threw at you, and I'm here saying I prefer to this episode. That probably says more about me than it does anything else. Just my own personal proclivities and sense of humor, I guess.
I did you enjoy it?
I did. I truly, honestly did.
I'm so glad, because this is one of my favorite series. Mm. I think we had touched on it in the last episode, but I've actually watched a lot less of this kind of stuff as I get older, but I still appreciate like the gag shows.
Yeah.
Like the comedy shows. Yeah, I just really like this series.
I think what I'm kind of realizing though is that, you know, my sense of humor and my sensibility is sort of crosses genres and media, because like I like the weird off-color humor in a good sketch comedy show, and I like the weird off-color humor in a good animated sketch comedy show, regardless of, yes, you know, what country it's from. So
yes, and for the longest time, Johnny Five and I have been pining to speak of another sort of sketch gag anime, Pop Team Epic. I really wish Pop Team Epic had a Christmas episode we could talk about, because I think I like that one just as much, if not even more, than Osomatsu.
I know you guys love that one, and I know you guys post it all the time, but I just plain don't understand it.
I think you would get it if you watched it, like, at least a little bit.
Maybe.
It's a little more esoteric than, like, this sort of I think you should leave style stuff, mm-hmm, but I think you could come to appreciate at least some of the humor in it.
Maybe so.
It gets a little more meta, but it's pretty funny.
Oh, that...
Yeah.
I remember, I'm going to talk about our Discord again. I remember posting a photo from Pop Team Epic just because I came across it one day and I realized, like, this explains my entire reaction anytime you and Jonathan talk about Pop Team Epic, where they're just like, ah, so it's like that, huh? I understand everything now.
Doesn't get it at all.
Like, yes. Yep, that's me in a nutshell right now. I understand this anime that you so lovingly bring to the show, Bradford. I understand it completely.
Well, I'm glad you appreciated this one.
No, I did enjoy this. This is much more kind of my speed. So thank you for that, Bradford. I do appreciate it.
You're most welcome. You're most welcome. And so I guess that leads into our sort of crankometer-esque, although I guess it's more of a binary, question for this month. Is anime a mistake based on Mr. Osamatsu?
Now, when you say is anime a mistake, are you referring to the art form or the month?
I'm referring to the month.
Okay.
Or the art form. Your choice. Dealer's choice.
Is anime a mistake? Based on this episode of TV alone, I have to say no, anime was not a mistake, because this is thoroughly entertaining in a really perverse and strange kind of way, and it's entertaining in a way that I appreciate. So
yay.
if it can entertain an old fuddy-duddy like me, then it can't be all bad.
Very nice. All right, cool. Well, I'm glad you enjoyed it. We have a treat for you all coming up next time. Thank you so much for joining us here. We know you have a lot of choice when it comes to media, so thank you so much for listening. If you want to get in contact with us, the best way to do so, which we've mentioned a couple times, is our Discord, which link to that should be in the show notes. If you don't want to use Discord, or you don't know how to use Discord because you're 65 years old and how do these buttons work, you can contact us at Gmail at xmiscreeps@gmail.com. We're also on Twitter, for as long as that it still is a thing. It's probably going to be a thing basically forever, but it's going to go the way of MySpace, right? That seems to be how this is shaping up, right?
Yeah, like you know the scene in Terminator 2 when like the T-800 is like falling into the lava pit, and the thumbs up is like going down into the lava. That's kind of me on Twitter. Like, I'll be here as long as it's here.
All right.
I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, maybe not MySpace. I mean, I feel like it has a little bit more cachet than that still, but
the only difference between MySpace and Twitter is that Elon Musk will never be my friend.
That's true. Nor do you want him to.
No.
I'd be friends with Tom.
I mean, you can't.
You heard about Tom, right?
What happened to Tom?
He took the money and, like, he basically did the thing that any normal non-sociopathic person would do when they sell their giant company. He just, like, started traveling the world with his giant bag of money and, like, does his own thing and, like, plays the guitar on a beach in, like, Ibiza and just, like, chills.
You know what? Good for him.
Right? Instead of, like, trying to, like, reboot his fascist grift machine, right?
Like, yeah, instead of trying to turn his platform into like some kind of weirdo right-wing space, or taking his social media website and trying to turn it into Second Life 2, he just took the money and ran, and I respect that.
Really, it's the most relatable thing a social media person has ever done, I think.
Mm-hmm. I can't even say that about Jack Dorsey, because when he got booted, when he left Twitter, he just built another Twitter. Like an idiot.
Yeah. Dummy.
As far as I know, we're not going to be on Blue Sky, so don't look for us on Blue Sky.
Anyways.
Like Bradford said, the Discord link is going to be in our show notes. Please like and leave a star rating and a review for this show on iTunes or wherever it is you listen to shows, to podcasts and stuff, because that helps people find the show. So with that said, anime soldiers on, folks, because we've got one more ace up our sleeve this month. I think you'll enjoy where we take it.
Yeah, but thanks again for listening, and we'll see you
soon. Thanks, folks. Have a good night.
Take care. Bye. Bye.
Happy Christmas. Happy Christmas.